This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Take this woman as your lawful wedded wife.
Ooh, yeah!
Oh, no.
Place the ring on her finger and repeat after me. With this ring.
With this ring.
I thee wed.
I thee wed.
Hello, Place to Be Nation, and welcome to With This Ring. I'm your co-host, Ryan Everett.
I'm your co-host, Cindy Everett.
And today is actually, not today, but this is our one-year anniversary of doing the show. We started publishing our show. Yes, but in our first show, had a match from, it was all tag team matches, including one from WrestleMania 6, and a match today has ties to WrestleMania 6. Luckily, how we do that, even though considering today is a WCW show, we still get a little WrestleMania 6.
Yes, and you had me watch that for context. Yes. It was a long match. I think I probably could have just watched some highlights. But
yeah, we probably
watched
have found
a GIF.
A 5-minute YouTube video highlights, but we're completists. And also,
you're a completist, yeah.
Yes, I am. And also, not only is it our one-year anniversary, it's a very spooky show.
Ooh.
For Halloween, we will be looking at Halloween Havoc matches. And a couple more matches than we usually do. Usually we're at like 5 or 6 matches. Today we have 10 matches total.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot.
But one of them is a Monster Truck Sumo match.
That did not make any sense.
No, it does not. No. And also, some of them are, we have some tricks and some treats.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. So the first match.
Wait, can we first talk about Halloween Havoc?
Yes.
Whose idea was it? Did WWE have like an equivalent?
Not real. I mean, fall holidays. WWF always had Survivor Series.
That was Thanksgiving,
and that was kind of like just a response to Starrcade from WCW,
right.
Anyways. No, it was just, this is kind of WCW's way of like being different,
differentiating themselves,
and having an event. It was 1989 was the first one, and they just always did it, and always had different tie-ins.
Yeah, I mean, some of the gimmicks that we'll talk about are a little deranged, but I think the concept of like, especially Halloween, that's a pretty good holiday to lend itself for, you know,
for ridiculous
wrestling
storylines.
Right, it's not going to be like Easter or Labor
it's
Day.
Nothing that anyone takes too serious as is.
Exactly. Yeah,
so I think it was a good holiday to pitch your wagon on. And
to tie your wrestling event to,
yes.
For sure.
So the first one was in 1989. Nothing from there. They have a couple good matches on that show, but we went to 1990 from the UIC Pavilion.
Yeah, hometown arena.
Yep.
With the purple ring.
Yes.
Didn't quite understand that one.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff that was just, I don't know if it was just the execution of all these matches, but the shows in general seem like they're a little, it's like one beat off from.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not always.
The production value is a little hit or miss sometimes.
Yeah, especially the earlier shows, there's always something missing for sure.
Yeah,
so the first match we saw was, it's for the United States tag team titles, because at the time they had two different tag titles.
Okay.
And
seems
it was
excessive.
Yeah. The Steiner Brothers versus the Nasty Boys. And it is just, it's a very quick match, I think. It wasn't long.
Yeah, I remember it moving pretty quickly. I mean, we did watch 10 matches, so I'm going to have to rely on my notes.
Oh, it is 14 minutes. Okay, that's actually longer than I thought. But it's very, like, keeps moving throughout. And it's just, the Steiner Brothers are just, like, they throw lots of suplexes, lots of clotheslines.
Mm-hmm. Really emphasizing that Scott Steiner hurt his lower back.
Yes, yes.
That came up a lot.
He hurt his lower back in an earlier confrontation with the Nasty Boys.
Mm.
Yes.
So they're feuding with the Nasty Boys?
They were feuding, and the Nasty Boys were very new at this point. They had just come in. And actually, so, spoiler alert for a 30-year-old match, they lose. But they, after the match, they kind of continue the feud. The Nasty Boys attacked them in the post-match interview, and it seemed like the Nasty Boys were going to be
a good up and coming. Yeah.
And then they realized that they didn't have a contract, and the WWF realized this, so the WWF signed the Nasty Boys right away. And they became the tag champs at WrestleMania 7.
Wow, I didn't know that.
5 months later.
That's what I'm talking about. There just was a little bit of sloppiness in everything they did.
The talent.
Yeah, talent development. Talent
development.
Storylines. Whoever designed the lever for the electric chair.
Oh, yes, that was a big problem that we'll get to. So in this match, the big thing is Scott Steiner hits the Frankensteiner to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Hurricane Rana, basically.
Yeah.
But it's different because, for one thing, in 1990, outside of Mexico, no one was doing that move. Especially
the one like on the shoulders. What move was that again?
It's like where you jump up and like grab their head with your legs and flip them over.
Okay.
Like Rey Mysterio does it all the time, like 10 times in a match. But Scott Steiner is a huge 275 pound steroid monster. Doing it to the Nasty Boys, who are, I forgot which one he does it to, but they're like 300 pounds also. So
gotcha.
It was a very
juiced up version.
Impressive version of the move. I mean, seeing Rey Mysterio do it to Eddie Guerrero is cool, but not really as impressive as these giants doing it.
Still impressive.
Yeah. Scott Steiner, like, this was the point where, like, a lot of people thought, like, this Scott Steiner is just going to be, like, the star of the 90s. Like,
gotcha.
What he can do in the ring is just ridiculous. And now he spends his time by sending video messages to
Mr. Fitch. I forgot that. That's the guy.
Yeah, he looks a lot different now.
Okay.
Now his blonde hair and much more steroids.
Much more steroids now?
Oh, yeah. He's
now?
Yeah, well, at least, like, yeah, even in the video that we did in January, who was ridiculously juiced out of his
gills. How is he still alive? No offense, but
I mean, he did own a Shoney's in Ackworth, Georgia for a while.
Oh, that's probably good money, franchise money.
Yeah, he had a nice little memorabilia stand in front of the...
Really?
Like with his memorabilia, yeah.
Okay.
Big Papa Pump, why wouldn't you?
Have you ever eaten at a Shoney's?
I think maybe once.
I never have.
It's like crappy...
I think it's like a Denny's.
Yeah, like crappy fast food. Like
sit down. It's yeah, sit down. But
not fastly made. Not like fast food.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So, but very good.
Yeah, this is a good one.
I really liked it. It kind of. It's probably not going to make my list or anything, but it's just kind of one of those matches that it's different than anything you would see in WWF at the time.
Okay.
So that's kind of like. It's just different than what you would get there.
Gotcha.
I think.
At that time. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
And then...
Then we move ahead to 1991.
Yep.
To the UTC Arena in Chattanooga. It was El Gigante.
El Gigante.
And well, my phone corrected it to El Gigabyte, so that's not right.
That is wrong.
The Steiner Brothers versus Cactus Jack, Abdullah the Butcher, Diamond Stud, and Vader.
Yes. And now, who is Diamond Stud?
Diamond Dallas Page?
No.
No, it's Rick. It's the guy who has all the other names, the greasy one.
Yes.
Hall?
Yeah, Scott Hall, Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon, yeah.
He was managed by Diamond Dallas Page.
That's right. I remember you asked me when we were watching that, and I got it right at the time.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
I kind of remember it. This is the Chambers of Horror match.
Yeah.
This is the one that, little questionable.
Yeah, so.
For a couple of reasons.
Chamber of Horrors match it. It's an 8-man match. They all stand in the ring. There's a bunch of weapons. It's a huge cage.
Uh-huh.
And then at one point, the electric chair drops down.
We have to talk about what the point of the match is.
Well, the point of
those who don't know.
You have to strap your opponent into the electric chair, and then one of your teammates has to pull the fateful lever and electrocute the guy in the
Didn't they call it something different besides... They didn't call it an electric chair, though, did they?
I think it was the Chair of Horrors.
Yeah, it was like a euphemism.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah, which is very useful. So, yeah. And, of course, the fatal
very functional lever
is eventually, the lever falls like 4 times during the match.
Yeah.
But luckily, it was Cactus Jack who had to pull it, and he thought about while he was going up there and noticed it was in the down position. So, very quickly, pulls it up, and then pulls it down.
Oh, yeah. And you just got to think on your feet.
So the match is like, everyone listening probably has heard of it at the very least, knows it's like a total joke match.
Yeah. But
really, I like it a lot. I think it's a really good match until the electric chair drops down. Then it gets, like, totally goofy. But the 10 minutes before that, it is, like, a very stiff
match. I don't know. Like, the, it's still, to me, a little chaotic. Like, the ref has a camera on his head.
Yes, that was
There's someone in a casket, like, jumping out, or...
Yeah, yeah, that was a problem. They did have the referee camera at this event.
Yeah, which was, that was a problem.
The referee basically wearing a bicycle helmet. With a camera inside of it. It's kind of like on The Simpsons when Homer's wearing his the hidden camera inside a huge novelty, like, cowboy hat. It's kind of obvious what's going on there. But, right. I mean, really, if you had... So, Elegante is, like, the most useless wrestler ever.
Really? Oh,
he's probably,
harsh.
Like, the worst wrestler of
ever?
All time.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you have Sting and the Steiner Brothers...
That's true. And
Cactus Jack, Vader... Scott Hall and Abdul the Butcher, and just like have him.
You mean
go
Diamond Stud?
The Diamond Stud, yes. Sorry.
And what was Abdul the Butcher's deal? He kind of seemed like it was like a flash in the pan.
He was like, he was one of those guys that he would just stay in territory, like in the '80s and seventies. Okay. He'd be in like a territory for a month. Like the heel manager who was always there would call him in to like try and take out the baby face of the territory, usually then like. The baby face of the territory would go and get his problem solver, who was always Andre the Giant. And Andre the Giant would come in and beat everyone up.
Oh, yeah, all right.
But he's actually in WCW for about a year here.
Okay.
And him and Cactus Jack had a little odd relationship. They were kind of friends, but kind of enemies at the same time.
Frenemies?
Yeah. If you remember at the beginning of the show when they show everyone pulling up.
Oh, yeah.
Cactus Jack and Abdul the Butcher.
Oh, that's right.
Come up in like a beat-up Cadillac.
That's right. That's right. Which is a weird weird angle.
Yeah. So I think Rick Steiner, Abdullah has Rick Steiner is about to put him in the chair. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes Cactus climb the cage to pull the fatal lever.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end, Rick Steiner uses a belly-to-belly suplex to put Abdullah Butcher in the chair.
But... Cactus Jack doesn't notice it.
Yes, he's just ready to pull the fatal lever, regardless of whether it's his partner, a 400-pound black guy, or a 250-pound white guy who wears headgear. I think you would be able to tell the difference.
You'd think, but he was very bloody. Like, yes. I could see through his blood. And that was the part that I wrote down that was kind of yucky, was that because Sting had, like, the bleach blonde hair, so, right. Like, he gets, like, blood in it. It, like, really
It was a brutal match, like I said, until the...
Who was in the casket? I forget.
I think it was just, like, random, like, guys that were there for no reason. Like, yeah. It was very confusing. And then, after the match, the ghouls come out.
Oh, that's right.
As the orderlies, and... Luckily, Abdullah the Butcher has not been killed by the electrocution. It was just stunned, apparently.
Right,
and
right.
And Cactus Jack beat up the ghouls.
That's right.
Of the ER department.
Yeah, but they should have been, just been orderlies.
Yeah. Maybe they were just orderlies. Right. I don't know their official...
Their title.
Title.
What type of licensing they have.
Yeah, I wasn't privy to that.
Are you going
to
put this on your list? Or is this just like a throwaway?
I don't think so. Like, I think it'll probably be... Like, I'd have it at... Let me see, what did I end up giving this? I think it is, like, unfairly maligned, because I think it is a very...
Yeah, you're really sticking up for this match.
I think it's really fun.
The electric chair took up, like, the entire ring.
Yeah, it's been at that point. Like I said, it's a 12-minute match. The first 10 minutes are a great brawl.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, I only have it at a 7 out of 10, and for this thing, you're going to have to be... Eight and a quarter at least to get on.
Gotcha.
My list.
Why don't you make like a top like gimmicky match?
I mean, it might get one of like usually. I know with the WWE list, like 90 through 100 were kind of choices, personal choices that might sneak in the late 90s here. And then our next match, we had nothing from 1992, which that's kind of a weird show.
What do you mean?
It's just. 92 was the period where it's Cowboy Bill Watts' time on charge.
Mm, oh. And
so he is get different philosophy. Like, there's a really good tag match, but it's over a half hour.
Okay, that's long.
Yeah. So it's like just a, it's very non-1992 wrestling. It's very 1980s.
Gotcha.
But we do go to 1993 from the Lakefront Arena in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we spin the wheel, make the deal.
Yep. But this is the promo.
Yes.
The famous promo that it starts with that I'd seen long before we started this WCW journey, because you and our friend Jason are obsessed with it.
Yes. Why don't you describe it?
What's the name? What's the guy's name?
Tony Schiavone.
Tony Schiavone. He's living in a haunted house, of course, and these bratty kids come up to trick-or-treat. And then he's like, hey, little kids, come in. My wife's made cookies. And he lures them in her house, then to his house. Then he turns into a werewolf. And
And then they just go to the opening of the pay-per-view. No, we just assume Tony Schiavone ate these kids.
I think so. Yeah, that's just kind of encapsulates your Halloween Havoc.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a something.
It's a
very
something.
Odd. It has like it's a good 3 or 4 minutes.
It's, it's long.
It's a very long opening that has nothing to do with the pay-per-view and is never mentioned again. Very WCW.
Well, yeah, just try it. I think they're kind of like, try it first, ask questions later.
So,
and when he closes the door, he gets this like creepy grin on his face. Yeah, creepy grin that
he's gonna eat some kids.
Uh-huh.
Including the Sting fan who's wearing Sting face paint and a Sting t-shirt. That's how you dress up as Sting.
Well, yeah.
So, the match, though, is for... Actually, it is non... It's a non-title match, because... So, earlier in the year, Vader, like, killed Cactus Jack, powerbombed him on the floor.
Oh, no.
And so, Cactus Jack was gone for months. They originally started a deal where he was lost in Cleveland.
Oh, he was lost in Cleveland?
He had amnesia, he was in Cleveland, and he thought he was a sailor.
Okay, that makes sense.
And, like, after two or three of these, they realized this is very stupid. And let me repeat. WCW realized this was too stupid.
Wow.
To go on.
Stupid. That reminds me of Spinal Tap, because they were in Cleveland and they couldn't find the stage.
Right. Hello, Cleveland! So, after they pulled the plug on that, they kind of made it out that Cactus Jack was just playing mind games with Vader.
Oh.
Trying to lure him into a false sense of security that he'd gotten rid of him. So then they had this match. So it was just personal for Cactus Jack. He didn't want the title. So earlier in the card, they spin the wheel and make the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the wheel spins on, they have to have that type of match.
Yep.
And it's a Texas death match.
Yep.
Which, in this iteration, most of the time it was something like this. You get a 3 count, and that's the end of the fall. And then here they have a 30-second rest period.
That's too long.
Yeah. Then after the rest period, it's a 10 count to get up. Which, usually they don't do the 30-second rest period.
Yeah.
Because that kind of killed the momentum.
That's what I wrote down. I mean, I think I'm being a downer, but that was just... Yeah, that was didn't really broke it up. And then I wrote down, it was two big guys. They didn't really have a very... Like, no one's going off the top rope. They're just kind of throwing their weight around. They go on the graves.
They're bouncing around quite a bit, though, I think.
That's true.
The two of them, Cactus Jack especially, are...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do anything he can to make a match pretty good. And Vader's pretty much like that also, especially against a guy like Cactus Jack. He'll
make him look good.
Do just as much as he's doing.
Yeah, and then Harley Race was there too.
Yep, Harley Race is there. And Harley Race gets very involved.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of not the first time that a manager's gotten involved. But he had like a stun gun with him.
Yeah, so
they're trying to play that.
Four falls in this match. Cactus Jack wins the first one after he hits a running clothesline to the ramp, but then Vader gets up, and then Cactus throws Vader to the floor and hits his running elbow off the apron, and that gets a 3 count, and then Vader hits the moonsault in the ring, which also gets one, and then the third fall, Vader hits a DDT on the ramp,
right,
and then Cactus Jack looks like he's about to get up, but then Harley Race has a stun gun.
Obviously.
And zaps Cactus Jack in the leg, making him fall before the ref sees it.
Of course.
And that gets him the win.
In the face.
Yeah. You know, Harley Race just... Actually, that's probably good for Cactus Jack that he just had a stun gun, because in the mid 80s, there was Harley Race was like one of the promoters in Kansas City, and obviously wasn't too happy when Vince McMahon decided to start running shows in Kansas City, mm-hmm. and supposedly showed up at a show and cornered Hulk Hogan in the bathroom with a gun.
Whoa.
And told him not to come to Kansas City again. But then luckily for everyone, Harley Race signed with the WWF like a month later. So
of course. Yeah.
That's for everyone.
That's intense.
Yeah. I mean, well, kind of like in the 70s, I guess all the wrestlers traveled with guns.
Wow. Okay.
Because, you know, that's what you do when you're all
coked out.
Coked out and testosterone.
Yes, your steroids and guns.
And, you know, you would drive from town to town with a six-pack.
Yeah. Sounds like a great life.
Yes. I'm surprised so many of them are.
Alive with us functional. Anymore. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I really like this match.
I can tell.
This is definitely making my list. I think I had it at 9. Yeah, I have it at 9.5. So it's probably top 20. And this was a match that, like, a lot of these WCW matches I hadn't seen before, like, 2010 when I found, like, a torrent of them all.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, this was one that WCW put out a VHS in, like, 2000. It was really weird. It was, like, fan favorites. And this was one of the matches on it, which is really weird that they would have this match on it. Because at that time, both Vader and Cactus Jack were in the WWF. And they were, so they're like, really saying that, like, we respect this match.
Okay.
And we're willing to put.
Even though these guys aren't at our company anymore.
Don't, you know, on Monday night, don't switch to the other channel and watch these two wrestle.
Just watch this video. All right.
So, next, we go to 1994. Mm-hmm. The Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan. Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair.
Yep.
Another rematch of a match we've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And this is when Mr. T is the referee.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. And a steel cage match. And I think this is... Yeah, this is a match where the cage coming down looked unsure.
Yeah, I said this is a broke-ass cage.
Yeah, I mean...
Because it was. It was like the flimsiest chicken wire.
Yeah, I mean, once they actually, like, strapped it on, it was fine
it did during not look
the match,
good.
But it did not look good
no,
going down.
No, it did not.
Like, it works fine during the actual match. Like, and they're doing a lot with it. Like, Ric Flair keeps going into it. Sherry's jumping off it repeatedly.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, this is very... a good view into early WCW Hulk Hogan, where they're doing a lot with Ric Flair, which is a good idea. I mean, that's what they should do, but also trying to glom onto anything that he did in WWF.
Gotcha.
Because, like, the first WrestleMania is Mr. T and Hulk Hogan against Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. And in 1985, Mr. T was a big deal. He was, like, you know, one of the
He's
biggest stars
a big
in
deal.
Hollywood. Well, I mean, he was really big then, though. And in 1994, he was not as big.
Gotcha.
He did not have, you know, a number one primetime show.
And what year did the Rocky, what Rocky was he in?
Rocky III. That was 83, I think.
Okay,
82,
yeah.
83. So, yeah, I mean, he was a legitimate star in 1985. And in 1994, his star had...
Fallen a little bit.
Yeah,
he had a little bit of resurgence. He's always. I feel like he's always been popular.
He's popular, yeah, but he wasn't like in 1985. People would buy WrestleMania because Mr. T was going to wrestle.
Okay.
In 1994, no one was buying Halloween Havoc because Mr. T was going to be,
I guess,
wearing a Red Wings jacket as a referee. Enough. Also, Mr. T, you're from Chicago. Why are you wearing a Red Wings?
Exactly.
Jacket?
Yeah.
Come on.
But we're into Sox colors.
Yeah, I'm all. He's a Sox fan.
He's saying the last one that didn't stretch
well,
at Wrigley.
Everyone's saying that.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you a Cubs fan.
And I remember when he's like, four, it's one, two, three strikes you out at the old ball game.
So, 20-minute match. Like I said, Cherry is insane in this match.
Yeah.
It's like a handicap match almost.
Seriously. She's jumping in the ring, getting her... skirt ripped
off.
Oh,
yeah, skirt ripped
off. All craziness.
Hogan's beating the hell out of her.
Well, yeah.
Like, not just, like, in the late 80s, she was with Randy Savage against right. Hulk Hogan, and he'd give her like the atomic drop and stuff. But here, no, he's like clotheslining her.
Yeah.
He's body slamming her. He's taking no shortcuts.
No. She took the bumps pretty well, though.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, she was forward, I'm sure. Like, she was, it wasn't like they
forced her to do it.
She was more than willing. And then Sting is at ringside because there's this masked man.
Obvious. I forgot that angle. That's so stupid.
He's been around for a while. He's always attacking Hulk Hogan. And Sting wants to make sure he doesn't get involved in this. And of course, Sting gets involved just trying to get Sherry off the cage or something. And the masked man comes out and hits Sting with his steel pipe.
That's right.
And hits Jimmy Hart with the steel pipe, which, I mean, points to the masked man. Yeah, no one wants Jimmy Hart around.
No.
But of course, Hogan hulks up because he's Hulk Hogan.
Right.
Hits the leg drop, wins, and this was also a retirement match.
Of course, yeah.
Because there wasn't enough stipulations on it already.
Yeah. They try and did a lot. They did a lot with this match. Maybe too much.
Yeah, it's kind of overbooked, but it's not. I think it's like overbooked in the right way. Like, yeah, they probably do too much, but it's better than. I think they kind of were worried about how much Hulk Hogan could actually go in the ring. So
wait, really? Why?
He was old and like
he wrestled for a while after that, though.
Yeah, but I mean, this was really his third match back, match in WCW. So they might have been worried that like. You know, the first match had him beating Ric Flair, but now, like, okay, we got to get more bells and whistles.
Gotcha.
To kind of.
He could just carry the match on his own skills?
Nah, not quite. He was kind of.
I don't know. They made the suplexes look easy. I had that in my notes.
I think it's a really good match, and I think it's kind of on par with their first match at Bash at the Beach. Just that's more historically significant because it's his first match.
It's historically significant.
Yeah,
I know what you mean, but just I don't think you're gonna see it in any history book. But
yeah,
you never
depends
know
who's writing the
I
book.
Was gonna say when Vince McMahon is vice president, you can put that in the textbooks.
So then, after the match, Hogan is doing his posing, and the masked man attacks, and it's Brother Brutai.
Wait, no,
that's coming up later. This is Brother Brutai.
That's right.
Brutus Beefcake, who you couldn't call Brutus Beefcake because it's his WWF name. So they just called him Brother Brutai. And then he becomes the Butcher. And then Kevin Sullivan comes in again. And then also Avalanche, because we can't call him Earthquake.
We need another natural disaster.
Yes.
Okay.
And then Sting comes out and tries to make the save, but that doesn't go well for him.
No, I just, this one had a lot.
Yeah, it's a very busy match, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and next, for our treat.
This is.
We go to.
Quite a treat.
Yes, it's the Joe. It's the Joe Louis Arena, but the first match from 1995 that we're watching is actually from the roof of the Cobo Hall.
Obviously.
Which is next door, I guess, to the Joe Louis Arena. And it was a big monster truck sumo match.
Yes.
Between Hulk Hogan's monster truck
and the Big
Giant's
Show.
Monster truck.
The Big Show. Wait,
the Big
Giant?
Show. The Giant.
Oh, his name was the Giant here? Okay.
Yeah.
And it was like the cars were like locked together.
They were welded together, yes.
Oh, yes. They welded them. It was like a sumo concept. They had to push the other car out of the ring.
Right.
Yeah. Who came up with that one?
I don't know. They did have some sort of, like, in September, all of a sudden, the Giants started showing up at shows in a monster truck. Like, real reason given. And then, Hulk Hogan had his monster truck made.
Obviously.
And then they have.
As one does.
Yeah, so they, of course, had the monster truck. The Bigfoot creator, Bob Chandler, does commentary for this match. And
what a lucky match. Yeah, a lucky guy.
Yes, this is his one color commentary position ever. And, yeah, it's 5 minutes of two trucks pushing each other. It's as exciting as it sounds. And then at the end, of course, Hulk Hogan's not going to do a job in the monster truck.
Mm-mm.
So the Giant loses, then attacks Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan pushes him off the roof.
Yes, obviously. But it was kind of shot weird. Like, they were in the cars, like we were talking about. There's no way they were actually driving
those
things.
They weren't driving, but They're definitely in those cars.
They definitely are, but, like, they're not driving.
Yeah, the drivers are.
The driver's next to them.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing.
Yeah, that, I can see why that one wasn't done again.
Yeah, there haven't been many
monster trucks.
Monster trucks,
sumo matches. Two trucks pushing each other.
So the Giants pushed off the building, apparently dead.
Yeah.
You would assume.
That's kind of implied.
And then he just shows up for his match against Hulk Hogan with no real explanation given.
That's kind of WCW, have to roll with it.
Yeah.
You can't really look for logic.
Yeah.
You poke a lot of holes in that.
At this point, it should be noted that they were playing off that the Giant was Andre the Giant's son.
That's right.
And this was in Detroit, the site of WrestleMania 3.
Gotcha. So
he claimed that where he laid one big stinky giant down, he was going to lay the other big stinky giant down. Because by this point, Hulk Hogan had decided that at WrestleMania 3, he killed Andre the Giant with his body slam.
Gotcha.
Which has kind of been an ongoing thing now for about 20 years. He's kind of stuck with that.
Wow.
That, for one thing, Andre the Giant, he didn't know if Andre the Giant was going to, he might just shoot on him, brother, during the match.
Oh, jeez.
And just win by himself. But he didn't. He gave his respect to Hulk Hogan and let him slam him, and then just died, like, right after it. Also, Andre the Giant, really about 700 pounds at WrestleMania.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well-known Hulk Hogan fan there.
I was going to say, he's really full of it, isn't he? Yeah. 700 pounds, like, he'd be able to stand.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, he was, like, how tall?
At this point, he was, like, he had actually started, like, shrinking.
Yeah.
That's, if you get it unchecked, that's what happened. He was probably, I mean, Hulk Hogan's, like, a legit 6'6", 6'7". I know the Giants, maybe 6'10", at WrestleMania 3.
Oh, they're really?
Like, I mean, if you, there's the picture of them face to face, and they're not.
That.
I know the Giant is not a foot taller than, he's not 7'4".
Yeah, he's not 700 pounds. He's able to stand.
Not 700 pounds.
That's, all right, yeah. His mind's kind of getting away from him on that one.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what happens to Hulk Hogan. It's happened quite a bit.
Buy into your own narrative.
Yeah, well, also, he's got to be careful with what mics he talks into. And
yeah, seriously.
Cameras. Although, the one owned got him $130 million, so maybe talking to all the cameras you want, Holster.
True, but I have a good legal team. Have a good lawyer. That's the moral of that story.
Peter Thiel, bankrolling your lawyers.
Seriously. Oh, this is his first match. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, this is like, the Giants' first match after, you know, well, he has a monster truck sumo match. Then he has an actual wrestling match.
Yes, your debut is going to be sitting in a car.
Yes. Like, he had wrestled a couple indie shows, but this was, like, his first WCW match, his first big-time match.
Mm-hmm.
He had wrestled a little bit as Paul Bunyan in the Chicagoland area.
Nice. Well, it's not a Chicago story. It's a Minneapolis.
Well, it's a Great Lakes story. Area.
Yeah, I guess I remember learning about it. The Tall Tales.
Yeah, I mean,
in school.
If you're in Chicago, you know who Paul Bunyan is.
What was his animal's name? His pet's name?
I think Babe was like, I think he had like a
Yeah, chick. Babe the Big Blue Ox.
I think he had like a chick dressed in blue as Babe.
Oh, the wrestler. Yeah, like the actual Paul
Bunyan.
No. Okay, I get it. But actually, it lends itself pretty well, doesn't it?
So, so the story is that Hulk Hogan was in Chicago for a celebrity basketball match, I think involving Danny Bonaducci of the Partridge Family somehow.
Okay.
And the Big Show was somehow involved because he's tall and played basketball,
so
I guess.
You think tall people are good at basketball?
Yeah, I mean, he was on his college basketball team.
Ready to go to college.
He's a Wichita State Shocker.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like, I mean, he was too big probably to get up and down the court, but
that's what I was thinking.
If he did get down the court, you know, from the post, no one's going to really block him.
Yeah, if they're all faster than him, though, he's not going to get to the post.
Yeah, but if it's a set play.
Okay.
So, anyways, so let's get back to the match. Yeah. Because the match
It was fine. And then it went off the rails.
It's 12, 10 minutes. It's your typical Hulk Hogan big giant match.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of slow rest moves and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Hart hits the referee.
Yep.
And then calls out the Yeti. The Yeti! Which is a mummy for some reason.
Yep. Can't use that word mummy, probably.
Yep.
Just like avalanche and earthquake. It's not quite the same.
Yeah, but the Yeti is like the snow monster, and
I know.
See a mummy.
I know what the difference between a Yeti and a mummy is.
And
I don't think WCW cares.
No, and the big... the. Giant has Hulk Hogan in a bear hug, so the Yeti comes out and just butt fucks Hulk Hogan.
Just kind of humps him.
Just gives him the old sodomy double team.
Who is the Yeti? Do you know?
A guy named Ron Reese.
Lucky him.
He would be...
Has he ever spoken out about his experience as the Yeti?
Not really. I think they actually... They did a convention a couple years ago, and I think they actually got him to appear as the Yeti. Where I hope someone asked him, why were you the Yeti? Yeah. Why were you the Yeti as a mummy?
Right, yeah, there's some questions there.
And then, so the Yeti comes out, sodomizes Hulk Hogan. Then Lex Luger and Randy Savage comes out, and just in the background, Lex Luger turns heel also, but it's not really even focused on. And then it's revealed, the Giant leaves with the belt, and it's revealed later that Jimmy Hart had written the contract so that if there was a disqualification... the title could change hands, which usually it doesn't.
Oh.
And since the ref was hit by Jimmy Hart, he disqualified Hulk Hogan because he's Hulk Hogan's manager.
Gotcha.
So the Giant became the champion.
Technicalities.
Yeah. And that ended up getting reversed event. Well, not reversed. The title was held up. There was a 3-ring battle royal. Which, World War III is a whole other thing that I don't think we're going to get to.
Yeah, that's okay.
They're all horrible matches.
Well, yeah, you're always selling that one.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's something we maybe should look into. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
And then, so, at this point, how are you feeling about your Halloween Havoc experiences?
It's a little bit of like everything. It's chaotic. There's some fun ones. Trying to think, but yeah, more treats than tricks.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So, okay.
All right, so we'll take a little break here, and we will return with 1997 and 98.
Yeah.
The NWO era.
The New World Order.
All right, before we go on anymore, we want to tell you about all the great things going on at the Place to Be Nation. The first thing is that to check out the PTB Wrestling Network store and show off your favorite podcast logo on great merchandise like t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Just go to www.tpublic and type PTBW in the search.
And T is T-E-E, public.
Yes.
Not just the letter T, right. Public.
Good call.
And the mates are back with the newest episode of the Special Relations podcast. And this time they cross the pond and have Tim Capel as their guest.
On the newest NWA Saturday special, Scott and the Doctor discussed episode 6 of the UWN Primetime Live and handicapped the brackets for the UWN World Title Tournament.
On the newest episode of the main event, Scott, Nate, and Steve cover all the bases from the G1 climax to the Bound for Glory and Hell in a Cell previews and more.
On the newest episode of NWA Crock and Roll, Sean, Callum, and the Doctor are joined by Ben Lack to recap the Great American Bash and more from July 1985.
On episode 560 of the Place to Be podcast, Scott and JR are joined by Steve Bennett to walk through the 4-22-91, it doesn't have a name, it's just the date, Medicine Square House Show.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Just search Place to Be Wrestling Network. Also, make sure to check out the Place to Be Nation pop feed with some great shows that include The Year in Pop, Laughing Theater, The Great Debate, Diamond Conversations, It Was a Thing on TV, A Piece of the Action, Making Mount Rushmore, Blockbuster Rewind, and so much more. Subscribe today.
And while you're at it, subscribe to a pair of tremendous podcast feeds. First, Jennifer Smith's The Jenny Position is the home of Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Brother Sister Rewatch Podcast, The Journey Through Infinity, and more.
Also, make sure to check out the brand new North-South Connection, brought to you by JT Rosero, Chad Campbell, and Aaron George. The official home for Wrestling Warzone, No Holds Barred, The Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jeff Learns Wrestling, The Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, TNA Never Dies, Shrink Wrap, and more.
Join our rejuvenated Place to Be group on Facebook. Look up Place to Be Chats and request an invite. Wrestling, movies, all forms of pop culture discussions and fun.
And, as we're discussing now, we're coming down the home stretch of our 2020 stretch project, determining the greatest WCW match ever. You have until New Year's Eve to do research, promote matches, and build your list. Conversation and rules can be found at www.facebook.com/GWCWmatches or on the Pro Wrestling Only message board.
Be sure to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the world of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in WWE by Jon Crow, Polly's Perspective, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and Matt's Disney Live Action Journey.
And if you're doing online shopping from Amazon, be sure to click on the banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. And now we will head back to Halloween Havoc. All right, so our next two matches are both from 1997.
Yep.
At the MGM Grand Garden Arena, technically in Paradise, Nevada, according to Wikipedia.
Didn't realize that.
It's not
part of Vegas proper.
Part of Vegas proper.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah. This actually, okay, spoiler alert, the next one we're going to talk about is my favorite of the week.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert, that's probably my number one match.
Really?
Overall. I think it's between this and one other match.
So we should tell the people what we're talking
about. Yes. Well, as everyone I'm sure can figure out, we're obviously talking about Jacqueline against Disco Inferno in a 10-minute intergender match. No, we're talking about title versus mask for the Cruiserweight title. Eddie Guerrero defending the title against the mask of Rey Mysterio Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And it is...
It's fun.
Yeah, I call it the best Cruiserweight match, the best light heavyweight match, I mean, however you want to put it. It's like... Because these two always had good matches, but this is
really good.
Everything hits perfectly.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just like, you know, a move here hits. Like, they do the super complicated, like, arm drag.
Exactly, yeah.
Rey Mysterio jumps on the ropes, really bounces off the ropes, hits a head scissors off it to Eddie Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Super fun, really enjoyable to watch. I mean, especially coming off of Big Show and Hulk and Monster yeah, Trucks. Like. That's true. That was like the lowest of the low, too. A lot of matches would have looked good after that one, but this True. Looked very good and definitely my favorite of the week.
Yeah, I would say this is, yeah, like I said, this is going to be top, very top of my list. This was one that, like, I saw it, like all, like a lot of these 97 pay-per-views I saw like a week or two later. And then, and
like, this, like bootleg copies or how?
Yeah, like Nick and Matt would have a neighbor who taped them.
Gotcha.
And then next time I saw them, they would give me the copy, and I would watch it. And then we'd usually watch it together, actually, with WCW. WWF, I had more immediate means.
Okay. But WCW could wait
Yeah,
a
I
week.
Could wait for WCW.
You weren't. Fair enough.
But, yeah, and this is just, like, at the time, I was kind of like, oh, I don't care about these Cruiserweight matches. I want to see, you know, Randy Savage or... Yeah. What's the NWO doing? But then, like, going back now, it's very obvious that this is the stuff you should be watching, and this right. is the stuff that, like, I think this match, in a way, is kind of like, to the generation of wrestlers now, it's almost like...
The Ricky Steamboat.
With the Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I think
wow.
a lot of people, like, look at that as like, yeah, okay, Roddy Piper
Z's,
versus
yeah.
Hulk Hogan's the main event here, but if you were... Actually, watching with a critical eye, this is easily the best match.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't really know any Gen Z wrestling fans. The only Gen Z person I know is your sister. But
Well, I mean, I would say, like, even, like, I mean, I was 11 now, so, like, people yeah. my age, like, that became wrestlers.
I gotcha. Like I gotcha.
The generation of guys that are wrestling now.
Right. Okay.
It's
I gotcha.
Kind of their version of...
That match.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Of, like... Being able to recognize, even if you don't know the ins and outs, you know
it's really
this
good.
Is a great match.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, sometimes with the Cruiserweight or the Lucha Libre matches, it would just be, oh, they don't have any psychology. It's just a bunch of
flippies,
spots.
Yeah.
But this, it tells a story.
Yeah, that's
Eddie
true.
Guerrero is, I mean, he's a Cruiserweight, so he's under 220 pounds, but he is ripped to the gills.
He is.
Shredded.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not shocking that. Like I said, his heart exploded 8 years later.
Right.
Because he would also get bigger than this.
Wow.
But not as cut, I think.
Gotcha.
Like, this is the most,
like
he's like so lean. Yeah, he
gotcha.
Just put on, started putting on mass. But he assessed, he gained mass. It's going to assess himself.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Got it. But yeah, no, I mean, I only take a lot of notes because I was enjoying the match. And
not a match you could really be looking down at your phone too much.
Yeah, I was very here for it. And Rey Mysterio wins.
Yep, he keeps his mask.
That's right. Oh, that was because that was the thing. If he lost,
he would lose
the mask off.
And eventually, WCW would decide that, yeah, we should take his mask off and not continue to make money for all the masks that he can sell, which when he went to WWF, they forgot that he lost his mask in WCW and just, you know, sold his mask for 20 years, which is probably better than...
Gosh, WCW, that's some really bad decisions on a lot of things.
Lots of things.
Just the execution. It's, wow. Yeah,
so,
all right.
Yep. So then our next match, we go a little later in this same card.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our second installment of Randy Savage against Diamond Dallas Page.
Talk back to chaos.
Attitude. Yes. Back to
Attitude
it's
Era.
It's very Attitude Era-esque.
It was.
Brawl.
Yeah.
And it's all over the place. It's a Las Vegas sudden death match. And so it's like the Cactus Jack Vader match, but it's just the 10 count. You don't have to get the fall
second,
and then 30 second. It's just straight up going.
Yeah. Did you say who it is? Randy Savage versus DDP?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just all from the beginning. They're knocking over tombstones. He gets him with the camera. There's a big discussion about the waitress.
Yes, there's somehow DDP or Randy Savage, I forget who, grabs a tray by the tombstones and hits him, hits the other guy with it, and then they get back to the ring and there's another waitress tray somehow.
Obviously.
And Dusty Rhodes is just loving that.
Yep, DDP's wife and Miss Elizabeth start fighting.
Yep, Kimberly and Elizabeth go at it for a little bit, which is nice.
There's a fake sting that runs out.
Yes, a fake sting, and he blasts DDP with the bat. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the next night, they showed, like, slowdown footage in different angles. And you could see that it's Hulk Hogan because he's wearing his Hulk Hogan boots.
It's like the JFK assassination.
Yes, they slow it down.
Angles. Okay.
So that was... So, I mean, DDP's still being helped, you know. He's not just losing outright. He has to be cheated.
But there's nothing clean about this match.
No, it's all over the place. It's just a goofy brawl.
Yeah,
but
that's a good way of saying it.
Good for this match. I mean, that's what they needed.
Kind of balance it out. Where was that on the card?
That was the semi-main event.
Oh, okay.
So number 8. And then
Randy Savage with Miss Elizabeth.
Defeated Diamond Dallas Page.
They should say with Kimberly then.
Yeah, but... I think with means that they came out to start the match, whereas Kimberly came out during.
Oh.
So.
Wow, very technical.
Oh, yeah, you got to be
very technical. Wikipedia.
When you're Wikipedia.
You got to have your standards, or at least some internal logic you can apply.
And then the main event of this show is just absolutely horrible.
Oh, Roddy Piper versus Hollywood. We didn't watch that one.
No, I'm just stating.
Okay.
But speaking of horrible matches in Las Vegas, we go to 1998.
So the same place back-to-back?
Yeah, they kind of did that a lot with a lot of different shows. Like Starrcade was in Washington, D.C. a few years in a row. This was in Nevada. I think they have like a deal with MGM.
Well, they must have, yeah.
So, and that's kind of some of the... crowds for these two shows were kind of weird.
Right.
So I think for that might have had to do with, especially at a casino, they give out like a lot of comp tickets.
Gotcha.
So it's just like people that had a hot hand that week are just given free tickets and they might not care about.
Yeah. Well, the crowd wasn't very invested.
Right. Yeah.
Any other of these years.
So again, 1998, we look at two matches again.
Mm-hmm.
And
tail of two matches.
Yes. Well, actually, for this one, we had to go back to 1990 first.
Because
we watched
the WrestleMania.
Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 6.
Wait, that was 8 years before?
Yes.
And people thought, and why they want to reference it, was the 1991 really that iconic?
Yeah.
Oh.
It is, I mean, watching it out,
it's boring.
It was a lot slower than I remembered it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot more slower spots. I always was upset by the weird Hulk Hogan blew out his knee part that like they spend way too long on. And then there was a couple more headlocks than I remembered it, but it is still like, it was like the next version of Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. It's like these two unbeatable idols meeting. And I mean, the biggest thing about it was Hulk Hogan lost clean, which up until that point he hadn't done like as Hulk Hogan, as that Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, well, there was a fireball.
Well, or try to be a fan. That's what we're coming. The second one.
What's up?
I'm talking about WrestleMania
first. Oh, I didn't take any notes on the WrestleMania one. Sorry. Yeah, but I didn't know we'd be discussing it.
Just to kind, it was to give context.
Yeah, the blowjob scene.
Yes.
That's what I needed. That's all the context I need.
Sorry. But it was a match that, like, people always thought, like, oh, that was such a good match. It's a shame they never had a rematch. Because they didn't wrestle again ever in WWF. So then, 8 years later, the Warrior shows up in WCW, and it's just a mess from the get-go. He's always appearing in out of smoke, like smoke balls and smoke mirrors. And there's one scene where Hulk Hogan's in the back, and in his mirror, he sees the Ultimate Warrior.
Ooh.
But everyone on TV could see this also. So Eric Bischoff is just yelling at Hulk Hogan, "Who are you talking to?" So really, to the fans' view, Eric Bischoff's insane and just can't see the Ultimate Warrior, not the other way around.
Right. Once again, the execution was just a little off on all this. But yeah, this was a longer match, too. I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, this is where I kind of... Say what you're talking about with Hulk Hogan's facial hair, because he has the blonde Fu Manchu,
yes,
but he has the black stubble. And yes. How did he do that?
I remember reading somewhere that he would, like, take a cork from a bottle of wine and, like, burn it down and then just
smear
like the ashes on his face.
Huh.
But then it doesn't like run during the match, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't like flake away.
Right.
Remember in Halloween before we met, we tried to dye your mustache?
Yes, it was not working. I bought a Hulk Hogan like wig and it came with the mustache, but I was like, well, it'd be a lot cooler if I dyed it blonde. But
your real mustache.
Yes. But it's apparently a lot harder to dye a mustache blonde than you would think, or at least I should have looked into it beforehand and just tried to go to Target right before going to the party.
Yeah, like I said, that was before we met. But I think, well, I think for women, I've never had my hair dyed, but I think it takes a couple hours.
Yeah. Well, I sat with this cream on my face for like 2 hours. There's pictures of me like with the cream on my face and like half of my costume on. I think like I didn't have the muscle suit on top, but I had like the bottoms on. So
I'm sure we could find those pictures.
Oh yeah, they're somewhere. Enough. Yeah. So anyways, yeah. So Hogan versus the Warrior. The first like 5 or 6 minutes, they try to basically just redo the start of their WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
They do like the one guy pushes the other in the corner and then they do the blowjob spot on the test of strength. And then things start to fall down.
Pretty quickly, yeah.
At one point, they do a crisscross, and then the Ultimate Warrior starts log rolling across the ring for no point, really. And then the Ultimate Warrior knocks down Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan goes in his pants and tries to get a fireball, which ideally he was supposed to throw at the Warrior and injure him. But instead, it blows up in the Hulk Hogan's hand.
Like, what was it really? Just like...
It's like they use this... It's like a piece of flash paper, basically.
Oh, okay.
So it, like, burns up and makes a spark.
Yeah.
But it didn't work the way it was supposed to, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, they probably didn't rehearse it, did they?
Obviously not.
So, you know.
So, yeah. And then, at the end... Horace Hogan, Hulk Hogan's nephew.
Right. Horace. This is where Horace comes out.
Yep, comes out, and Eric Bischoff like is giving a full-on hug to the referee to distract him. And Horace comes out and gives a very weak chair shot to the Ultimate Warrior, and Hulk Hogan pins him and wins. And that's it.
Yeah, I mean, they could have had a clean ending.
Or at least not have Horace Hogan be...
Whatever happened to Horace Hogan?
Nothing, really. He, like, stuck around for, like, a year, but...
And then Poochie went back to his home planet.
Yes. And he was never heard from again. Yeah, it was... It's not very good. And then we do have the bonus, though, of at the very end, Hulk Hogan tries to set the Ultimate Warrior on fire by pouring a thing of lighter fluid on him. But luckily, the security team gets involved.
Well, yeah. That could have ended poorly.
Yes. And then if you were watching this on pay-per-view at the time, I think like 25% of the cable companies were not told that they were going 3.5 hours instead of the usual 3 hours.
Oh.
So a lot of people The camera went black after this match.
They missed the best match.
Yep.
Who did that happen to?
I think it probably says here. Yeah, so...
Feed termination during the
ran night. 3 hours. I think they said it... I remember hearing it was about 25% of the cable companies, like, just... After the end of the Hulk Hogan Warrior match, just, like, started the replay.
Oh, back up. Wah, wah.
So, what they ended up having to do was, the next night on Nitro, they re-showed the main event.
Okay.
Which... For them, in the short term, it was good because they won the ratings, which would be the last time they won the ratings ever against Raw. But they had to refund all those people who didn't get to watch it live, so it wasn't too great.
So the financial was probably better than the ratings, but...
Right. So in the final match, though, in many areas... Oh, okay, it just says in many. It doesn't give an actual number there. So... The final match, though, was Goldberg defending the world title against Diamond Dallas Page. Mm-hmm. And like I told you, as it was starting, the biggest thing was, like, Goldberg's unbeatable, but no one kicks out of the Diamond Cutter.
That's right.
So it was set up like, what's this going to give, you know? Is,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they set up that binary quite a bit.
Yeah, and this was definitely... Follows the pattern for good Goldberg matches. It just goes just a shade over 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's not too long. Doesn't overstay its welcome. Really good match, though. I like a lot of quick moves. And then I forgot that he actually does hit the Diamond Cutter, but it takes a long time to cover, like 30 seconds to get over and cover, and Goldberg kicks out. And then DDP goes for another Diamond Cutter, and Goldberg reverses it. Yeah, into the jackhammer for the win.
Yeah. No, it's good. I think 10 minutes is, I think, my sweet spot for matches, too.
I think especially a match like this where it's staying in the ring. They're not going to do anything too crazy.
Yeah, it was like the antithesis of the Randy Savage match. So, like, literally everywhere.
Which shows DDP, and that's another thing with DDP. He's really known for, him and Savage are both known for, like, planning everything out.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's good to have a guy like him with Goldberg, so that everything will be planned, because, I mean, Goldberg is still a rookie at this point.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's true.
It's good that he's...
He's massive.
...has rookie. Everything Ew. Walked through. Yeah, I see that. So, all right. So those are our matches.
Okay, let's do our rankings.
Yeah, so we'll ratings. Ignore the treats for right now, or the tricks, I guess we call them.
The tricks are probably the tricks are the stupid ones. Like that monster truck one.
Yeah.
And then we'll just do the treats.
Yeah. So, number one, I'm guessing
Eddie Guerrero. Yep, that's my number one of the week. My number two is probably the last one. The DDP versus Goldberg.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay, what else we got?
So we got the DDP versus Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair, Cactus Jack versus Vader, and then the Steiner Brothers versus the Nasty Boys.
I think next, let's have a look at my notes. I don't know, Cactus Jack versus Vader, I might have put that one near the bottom. Like, I don't know, they're not, like, the two, like, these two big guys, not really jumping around a lot, there's a lot of blood. Harley Race is being ridiculous.
Walking around with a stun gun.
Yeah. Let's put that number. How many do we have left? Put that one on the bottom.
1, 2, 3, 4. So this would be 6.
Yeah, put that at 6.
All right.
I think, well, I don't know. Once again, there's lots of, like, goofball things in the rest of these matches. Probably the Diamond. So for third, I'll do the DDP Randy Savage one.
Okay.
Even though it was chaotic, it's still, they do a good job.
It works out.
Yeah. Because, like, the Ric Flair, and then I'll put four as the Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. Because once again, not like my favorite, but they're good wrestlers. They made those suplexes look easy. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then 5, Steiner Brothers. Yeah. Nasty Boys.
Yep. I'm okay with that.
Yep. So for me, like I said, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio's definitely top. And then I think I'd have Cactus Jack Vader.
I have a feeling you would. You like Cactus Jack.
I like Cactus Jack. I like Vader. It's just two big guys just laying, throwing bombs at each other.
That's all I need to be happy.
I know. Not all you need, but
yeah,
covers a lot of your hierarchy.
Goes a long way.
Needs. Yeah, Ryan's hierarchy of needs involves Cactus Jack matches.
So overall, what did you think of like Halloween Havoc as a concept?
Well, like I said at the beginning, I think it's a great concept. Yeah. I think, like everything else, the execution is
right
spotty.
Yes.
But I think, like I said, this is a good holiday to kind of anchor your an event around.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I always liked Halloween Havoc as a concept. I like the idea of themed pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. I wish they're actually, this week, NXT is having Halloween Havoc.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what they're doing. They are having a spin the wheel, make the deal match.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to have a Chamber of Horrors match, so.
That's okay.
Johnny Gargano won't get electrocuted or anything.
That's all right. I mean, if they shoot that promo with Tony Schiavone.
I mean, that would be the dream, but he's mm-hmm. in AEW, so I don't think he'll be able to make it.
Is AEW going to do a Halloween special?
I mean, well, that's the big thing. Like, almost all the pay-per-view names are Dusty Rhodes, came up with them.
Okay.
So WWE bought most of the copyrights, but then WCW bought like any that were expired, like Bash at the Beach they had.
Oh. So did the AEW do a Bash at the Beach?
They did. I mean, it was just like a beach. It was like SummerSlam? The indoor beach at the Bash where they just have like stuff there.
Gotcha. Just trash an indoor beach set,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, but I like the idea of themed pay-per-views, especially nowadays where everything, even before they had the Thunderdome, like at regular arenas, everything was just the same big LED board.
Gotcha, yeah.
I like original sets and designs and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, because not many other holidays could really...
Yeah.
Like, what else could you really do?
Yeah, you could do Christmas, but I think that's like... Pay-per-view buys might be down because people are
right
other places.
Yeah. And, yeah, Halloween's a good one.
Yeah.
So, cool.
Yeah.
But it was definitely a variety of matches this week.
Yes,
The good, bad, and the ugly.
Yes. We'll kind of get more focus on just the list next time with Clash of the Champions.
Sure. I know. For us right now, it's the end of October. So
yeah.
When you're reading those promos, that it's almost time to turn in our lists.
Yeah.
This year's gone.
Getting there.
Well, I guess I can't wait to see this year's gone quickly.
No, this has been a long year for most people. But but
at the end of it, we'll have a WCW list.
Yes, and that's all that matters.
That's this right. Year will be a success.
Yes, as long as we get the list done, it'll be a success.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Bye. The Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the Monster Mash.
Oh.
Out from his coffin, Jack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the Monster Mash. Now everything's cool. Drax's a part of the band. And my Monster Mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what it said.
And you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can Monster Mash.